Matthew chapter 26 this morning. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to begin reading with the first verse and read down through the 16th verse this morning. Matthew chapter 26. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, having an alabaster box of very precious ointments, and poured it upon his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said to them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work unto me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my head, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you today that we have your precious word before us, that we have an opportunity to freely come and enjoy your precious word, hear your word, hear the truth. Love, Father, going each verse by verse through your precious word. Please, Father, just speak to all the hearts today as we've close to entering in to Jerusalem, facing the trial, facing the crucifixion. Father, we cannot imagine the pain and the suffering that you and your Son carried for us to the cross as they held all the sin of all the world. But Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great love, that we can have our sins forgiven and have victory and enjoy this precious, precious life living with you each and every day, awaiting the time when we can meet you face to face. So Father, just show us your way and will this morning and touch every heart. If there be one heart here that has never accepted you as their Savior, today would be the day of salvation. Please, Father, don't let anyone here be one that says, Well, I've always believed. Because the always believed will send you straight to hell, Father. And you desire that no one face that kind of judgment. So please, just touch all of our hearts today, Father. Speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back with me a couple of chapters, back to chapter 23. And we're going to look at a couple of verses of Scripture here to kind of get the timeline of what's going on. And if we're just going to start here with our Lord and Savior in the temple, and here's his final words in verse 37 of chapter 23. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent before thee, How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then as we look at the 24th chapter, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon Mount Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? Now, if you'll come with me over to the 26th chapter, that teaching on the Mount of Olives comes to a close as we come to chapter 26. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all his sayings unto his disciples. And so we've come from the 23rd chapter of being in the temple to being on Mount Olives and having that wonderful teaching that he taught his disciples. And now we find that he has now 2 days out from the Passover feast, as the scripture tells us. It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. So again, the wonderful teaching that took place over Mount Olive, and now it's finished. So he went from the temple to Mount Olives, and now we are about to arrive in Bethany, as the scripture tells us here in the 6th verse. If you would want to get a little geography lesson, you find Jerusalem, and then Mount Olives is less than a mile straight to the east of Jerusalem, and Bethany then is about a mile and a half or so south of Mount of Olives, and still only about a mile or so up to Jerusalem. So it's almost like a triangle there between the three locations, all of them very close. And so a mile or so over to Mount Olives, a mile and a half down to Bethany, and then we will be arriving back to Jerusalem here before long. But again, a very short distance between all these places. Sometimes it's kind of nice to know the connection between. And so the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples here in the 2nd verse says, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. This feast of the Passover, it's important for us to understand that the feast of the Passover was from the very beginning of time to be the time when our Lord and Savior would be crucified. And what a picture that this Passover has in itself concerning the Lamb of God to be crucified. And so as this was given to the Jews, it was given to them for a single purpose, and that single purpose was for them to understand that they had been delivered by the hand of God out of Egypt. And by that delivery, why they were given this memorial, and we were to keep this memorial alive, as the scripture says, the feast is named because the death angel passed over Israel's home, and whenever he saw the blood. Now, we have a beautiful hymn, When I See the Blood, in 357 in our blue hymn book that I love to sing because when I see the blood, I will pass over you, the hymn tells us. Now, we're going to go back because there was no way of dividing this. I tried to. We're going to go back to Exodus now, and please go back there with me, Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read several verses concerning this Passover that was given to the nation of Israel, and why? Because it's a clear time of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus that was to come. And so if you would please turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, we're going to start reading with the 12th verse. And we're going to read all the way over to the 30th verse. So much reading today, and so please that you follow along, Exodus 12, 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. You know, when we went through all the plagues, each plague and the final was this the death of the firstborn. But every god had been destroyed in the land of Egypt during this period of time. And verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Of course, we know that leaven stands for sin. And so they were to prepare their hearts and prepare themselves for this. And it was given to them in the example of the leaven, to have the leaven taken out of their homes. Verse 16, in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. Ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month of the 14th day of the month at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even the soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. It shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye this service? Ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt. And when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the heads and worshipped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. We're going to stop with the reading in Exodus there and return now back to Matthew. But to find that there was not one single house in the land of Egypt that did not have death in that house. And so, did the blood mean life to the nation of Israel? Yes. There was not one house that was touched when the doorpost and the lintel was painted with the hyssop, with the blood of that lamb. And it's the same way that we're saved today when we come by faith to the blood of the Lamb of God that was shed for you and for me. And so a little lesson on the Passover. And the feast's name was just that, because the death angel passed over when he saw the blood. And so it's so important that we understand some of these words. Now, you'll notice when we read that back in Exodus that it referred more to the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which went on the same time as the Passover. And so it was one of the same. The Passover was celebrated for a period of 7 days. It started on the 14th day of the month, and the month was Abib, and that month was to us would be in the area of April. It ran through the 21st day, as it tells us. But on the 10th day, the head of the family, the head of the household, was to go out and find the most perfect lamb that they had. And so on that 10th day, and they would be separated out then, and it was to have no blemish. You can find that in Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 through 6. And then on the 14th day, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the lamb was slain before the altar, and the blood was poured out at the foot of the altar. And that was to be done on the Passover, different than the very first Passover that took place in the land of Egypt. This is the way it was to be celebrated from then on. And so the lamb was roasted whole. Not one bone of the body was broken. And when the lamb was roasted, it tells us that the tradition tells us that they took two sticks, and one went from one end of the lamb to the other, and one crossed right at the shoulders. And of course, that gives us this beautiful picture of a cross. And so the lamb that was slain, and so we have the wonderful picture as the lamb was roasted. But the important is the precious blood that was laid at the altar, slain for us. You remember the Roman soldiers when they came to the cross, and the thief on one side, the thief on the other side, the Lord Jesus in the middle. And they came to one thief, and he was still alive. And so the way they would bring death a little sooner, because you couldn't launch yourself up to breathe if you had your legs broken. So they would come and they would break your legs so that you would no longer be able to breathe. You'd literally die from suffocation because you couldn't breathe. Can you imagine with that nail being between your feet and you lunging yourself up trying to get a breath? And then they come and break your legs. So you can't do that. But they came to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. As the lamb, not one bone broken. As our Lord Jesus fulfilled that prophecy, not one bone that was broken. What a beautiful picture here as we go back into Exodus and look at the Passover, and the Lord Jesus himself is our Passover lamb. And so we have everything just exactly the way we had it through the Passover as they celebrated that. There was not one reason why anyone should miss knowing that this was the Messiah. With all the prophecies that came forth. But what did we just read back in Matthew there in the earlier chapters? Chapter 23. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you have killed my prophets. You have not listened to a thing that I've said. And we have the same now when we come, because it says, and the Son of Man is to be betrayed, to be crucified as the Passover. In 2 days is going to be the Passover. So let's hold on to that timetable. Verse 3. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. They came together for the purpose to find, to figure out how to arrest and to put to death the Lord Jesus, the very Savior of the world, the one that prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, prophet after prophet after prophet, had proclaimed clearly who, when, and where this the Messiah was to come. And yet this religious bunch, just as we find back earlier and in Malachi, and when I was studying for this message, I kept going, sliding back to Malachi, because over 400 years before, the exact same comments was made from Malachi about the priests and the people and the condition that they were in. And they did not listen to the prophet Malachi as he proclaimed the forerunner was coming. He said the Messiah is coming, and yet they didn't heed the warning at that time either. We find that these folks come together. And we need to come and decide, how can we accomplish this? Is there anyone left that's not religious here? Chief priests, scribes, and elders. Got them all. Is there no doubt that in today's society that we have more antichrists out there preaching the fake word and proclaiming lies about the word of God? Because even in the day of the Lord Jesus, they did not listen. They wouldn't pay any attention to those precious words. Met with Caiaphas in his castle, in his residence there. The purpose was to kill the Lord Jesus. They met, they planned, they schemed, but they had a problem, because it is a feast day. Now, I used to think that it was because they were religious. They said, we can't kill him on the feast day. But the scripture tells us it's because of the people. There were so many people present, and there were so many folks that was following the Lord Jesus, that if we would do this now, it's going to be a problem. And so we read back in Exodus that there was a day of holy convocation. And so within the celebration of the feasts, there are many holy days, or Sabbaths, as said. And see, that's where everybody accepted the lie that our Lord Jesus was crucified on Friday, because they had to have it done before the Sabbath. Well, it's not the Saturday Sabbath. It was a special Sabbath. It was a day of holy convocation that they were dealing with, not the Sabbath that we know as of on Saturday. So it wasn't that they were a bit concerned about crucifying or killing the Lord Jesus or putting him to death in some manner. There was no problem with doing that on a feast day. Didn't matter to them. But they were concerned about the people. And so they're out here conniving. The Lord Jesus has just told his disciples that the crucifixion is coming soon. And of course, we know that they do not understand. They do not understand what's going to take place, even though the Lord Jesus had told them multiple times. And then we move over to a little town of Bethany. And there he is in the house of Simon the leper. Was Simon the leper someone that the Lord Jesus had healed in the past? Because we know at the time that Simon would not have leprosy at this time. So he would be to me one that Jesus healed. And it was a privilege for the Lord Jesus and his disciples to come into Simon's house and to dine with him. It was a privilege for Simon to do this. And so they met in Bethany. And here comes a woman into the house. They're sitting at the table, and all of a sudden she comes in with this box, and she begins to pour this most expensive oil, this ointment up on his head. It says the disciples, but I personally believe that it started with Judas. I think Judas knew the value of this ointment. And he began to talk to the other disciples. Why did this woman do this? Do you realize that this was probably her life savings? She literally gave everything. She poured it out upon the Lord Jesus. She gave her all. She gave her best. What a beautiful picture for us to be reminded that we need to give our all to our Lord and Savior. Was she concerned that by giving her life savings up, that what am I going to do tomorrow? No. What a picture that we have here, because the Lord tells her, "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." I believe she understood more than the disciples understood. She took this wonderful opportunity to give her all unto her Savior, the Lord Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples are over here discussing the fact that that was such a waste. And what a dishonor to the Lord to think that anything given to the Lord would be a waste. And yet the very disciples had that thought. I believe it all started with that little man called Judas. He held the bag. He knew what the value of that money was. And it tells us here that when Jesus understood it, Jesus didn't hear him talking. They were off in the corner discussing what a waste this was. But Jesus hears every word. And so by Jesus hearing every word, why, now he comes and he kind of really takes the disciples to task and says, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work unto me." She has done a great work. She has given her all. She has given everything that she possesses. She's given to me. What a blessing that it was to the Lord, and what a blessing it was to this woman. The disciples didn't understand it. And finally they came out amongst themselves, and Judas is thinking, "We need to put it in a bag. We could sure use that money." But they decided that, well, it'd probably look better. Let's give it to the poor. Should be given to the poor. Well, the Lord Jesus says, "For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." Jesus is not teaching here that it's not important to care for the poor and help the poor. He is teaching here what's important. And what's important is that we give our all to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. There's nothing too great, nothing too important that should not be so important to us that we're not willing to give it unto the Lord. Whether it comes to talent or monies or whatever it is, we need to seek the Lord's will. And she, I believe, sought the Lord's will, and she brought it with all of her heart and poured it upon the Lord Jesus. And what a blessing it was. "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body. She did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial for her. Because of her beautiful act, she found her way into God's precious Holy Scripture to be read by everyone that looks to His Word. Do we know how much money was in the bag? No. Do we know how much money that the ointment was worth? No. But we know it was her all. It was, again, probably it took her life savings to purchase it. And she was willing to show her love to the Lord Jesus. And we need to seek that love. We should have that love for our Lord and Savior in giving of our time and our monies and our efforts. And without question, the Lord will bless it and will use it. Was she saddened by the response that the disciples made? I don't believe so, because she know that she gave her all unto the Lord. And then we move forward to verse 14. And we're going to let old Judas Iscariot wait till tonight. He's not worth talking about. Mary of Bethany was. She's worth talking about. Somebody that's willing to give and to enjoy the blessings that the Lord has to give. Judas, on the other hand, sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. Let's close in prayer. Father, please. We go from the great teaching that you had given about upon Mount Olive. We went from prior to that, the teaching and the proclaiming in Jerusalem concerning their ungodly condition. Then we come, Father, to a time where they're meeting to figure out how can we put this man, they thought. Didn't call him God. They believed it was just a man. How can we put him to death? And we come to Bethany. And we have this beautiful picture of the anointing of the body of the Lord Jesus. And we know the same words are used when they come to embalm him, literally thinking he's still in the grave. Father, help us to understand the importance of serving you, of giving to you. It's a joy, it's a privilege. Let's not be as the disciples, thinking that there's something that's not worthy of to be given to you, Father. Speak to our hearts today. Again, those that do not know you as their Savior, and those that are, that do, that we may grow and be closer to you and be a greater servant to you, realizing that everything we do for you is the only thing of value. Thank you, Father, for this day. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.